This is Educating Technology, a podcast about using technology in our schools. Last week, Chris and I discussed my disappointment in the latest products released by Apple. This week, as we gear up for the Thanksgiving break, we found a group policy we've been needing for a very long time. If you like what we're doing, you can support us by going to patreon.com/educatingtech and becoming a patron. Now, on with the show. I mean, I can tell sometimes we get a little bit audio drift, but that's okay.
And if worst case, you just listen to mine and you hear you for some reason.
Yeah, I do that anyway.
Even okay. Though I like bury an earbud in my back and put the other one in my ear, it's coming out the other side of my head.
I don't understand how that happens, but it just does. I don't know.
It does. I heard it finally.
It's on your track. I don't know why. I thought it was my track at first, but no, it's you.
No, it is.
And you got your gain all the way down and everything. It doesn't make any sense. It's got feelings. It's really sensitive.
It is.
Okay, so let me tell you something that'll make you feel like an idiot. Today, I was having some person put in a work order. We have 8 computers out in the ag shop for like what we call the ag lab. And they were telling me that like nothing was opening. Google Drive wasn't opening. Google wasn't opening. Gmail, nothing was opening. And so I remoted into one and I got the old message that says, "We created a temporary profile for you."
Oh, I hate that.
And so usually that means it's out of disk space. And so I checked it and sure enough, it was out of disk space. And so I opened up, and the culprit is user profiles, you know. And these machines, they had like a 128 gig SSD in them. It was our first round of Dell machines that we bought like 2.5-3 years ago. And so they haven't been wiped out. They're still running Windows 7. I haven't redone them yet. And so I was like, okay. So I started clearing out some profiles. And I was like, you know, I think I wrote a script that can do this. And I couldn't find it. And so I just kind of Googled it again to see if I could find a script. And then, lo and behold, I came across a TechNet article from Microsoft to how to automatically delete user profiles older than a certain number of days using group policy.
I know. You sent this to me, and I was like, really?
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I've written this script. This has existed the whole time?
The whole time, it looks like. It's just... and it's ridiculous. In the script that I wrote, it is like super slow. Because starting with Windows 7, gone was the days where you could just go delete the folder out of Documents and Settings and be done with it. No, not anymore, because that just does nothing but cause problems. You actually have to go get rid of some stuff out of the registry whenever you get rid of a user profile. Unless you do the whole right-click, Properties, Advanced Settings, User Profiles, and then you can see the list of all. And I had a whole bunch of like account unknowns, and that's just user accounts that we've deleted out of Active Directory. And so,
yeah.
So they didn't need to be there. The sensible thing would be like a shift click ability in Microsoft to be able to delete them all at one time. But no, you have to do them one at a time. And sometimes it'll give you a little error message that says, can't delete the folder because it's not empty. Well, but then it gets rid of it anyway and clears the space, but just leaves a fake empty folder that's empty, but it doesn't think it's empty. But I was like, where's that script? And I remember the script that I wrote, it was super slow. I mean, it was just like, it would churn through one profile and it would churn through the next one. It would churn through the next one. It would just take forever to remove the registry entries, remove the folders, blah, 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 blah. But the cool thing about it was you could tell it's like, skip these profiles. And so you could just like right click run as admin and it would just clear everything out except the account that I use for management, the local admin account that we use whenever we create the computer before we join it to the domain. And of course the actual local administrator's account if it's ever logged in for whatever reason, even though it's disabled by default. But it was just so long. But then I found this group policy and I was like, well, heck yeah. And so I turned it on, set it to delete user profiles older than 15 days. And I know that's a little bit restrictive, but I needed to clear off some space. Did a group policy force update, GP update /force, rebooted. And then all of a sudden it takes a little bit, but I got 39 gigs of free space back.
All I know is this made me feel so stupid.
I know, because how many years have we been fighting this? I mean, we've been fighting this since we've been started in this industry.
I mean, how old is this policy? I mean,
I have no idea.
When was this article? Let me pull up this article again. When was this written? Because this is just ridiculous. This article was from 2014? So, I mean, come on now.
Okay, so it hadn't been that long, but it's been a while.
But that was just this article.
Yeah, and so there's no telling how long this profile, this policy has been there. And it's like you said, Microsoft has all the best tools that nobody knows
about. They do. They have phenomenal tools. I mean, like, I know we keep talking about System Center here lately, but that's just because that's what we're getting in right now. It has so many amazing things, but Microsoft doesn't brag about them. Oh, this policy was came out when Vista came out. So.
Oh, so yeah, so it's been a while. I mean, because Vista was before 7, right?
Yeah, it was. Vista was 2000, so it's 11 years old, this policy.
Oh, yeah, right about the time that it became a pain in the rear end to get rid of user home folders, when they went to see users instead of see documents and settings.
Yep, so yeah, this policy is 11 years old.
Okay, so this came out right about the time that we actually needed it, so.
Yep, makes sense. Perfect sense.
Now. I remember when I was at the service center, I went out to a district, and I literally fought this because some lady just went in and whacked some user profiles, and so it was making the registry.bak files for all the user accounts, and so it was just a nightmare to fix that.
Oh, sorry, it's older. It came out in November of 2006, this policy.
Oh, well. Even worse.
Dang it.
I wasn't even out of college then, I don't think.
I was married.
I had just gotten married, probably. So, I was out of college and just gotten married. So, great times.
Yeah.
And so, I just feel like a jerk because this has been here the entire time and I fought with it and done it manually or with a script one computer at a time.
All I know, though, is I am very glad you sent it to me.
Yeah, I sent it to a lot of people because I sent it to at least two of y'all.
You're like, why are we not doing this?
Yeah, it's like, oh, man. But also, speaking of Microsoft stuff, the Sophos bug we talked about, I guess, last week or the week before last, they re-released 1809 Windows 10, the October update. If they finally released it again a month later. And the issue with Sophos is resolved. And it was resolved on my machine after I installed the cumulative update from November 13th, since I had 1809 already installed. So if anybody else is having that problem with Microsoft Edge, that problem has been remedied.
Well, so it only affected 1809.
Yeah, it was only an 1809 bug.
That is so bizarre, the issues they had with 1809.
Yeah, it's just between...
I mean, they should change the name of this one from the October update to... the turkey.
Yeah, and not to give out any Avengers Affinity War spoilers, but somebody did say that's what happens when you replace Cortana with Thanos. So things start disappearing. Spoilers. But yeah, so that problem's resolved. My user profile problem that I've been dealing with for 10 years now is resolved. And I also took care of some of the red alerts in Sophos, so I'd have no more computers saying that they couldn't be protected by Sophos, and it was because they were out of disk space, and it was all in the same lab. So I fixed everything while I was messing with it.
That's awesome. That was a good find.
So it's just it's ridiculous. And then I actually had to rewrite my Sophos installation script to. It wasn't getting rid of the old version of Sophos on some computers because of tamper protection, which was interesting. So I wrote it to stop some services, and then it installs and uninstalls like it's supposed to. So that's just a hint out there. If you want to get around the tamper protection, just stop the Sophos services. So.
Oh, goodness.
So what good that's is awesome. Tamper protection, right?
Well, just, I guess they can't stop them. Without.
Just stop the service. And so I rewrote that and then tested that out, pushed that out today. And so if I have a computer that's having problems, I can just delete my check file and let it redeploy and call it a day. And then I play with System Center some more because that apparently is my life now.
I love System Center. I'm loving it more and more.
I'm liking it, but I don't like the fact that I have to manually create my device collections.
Well, we understand why, though.
I know, but still, they should make it like, hey, we notice you have this OU structure. Would you like us to find computers? Would you like us to duplicate your OU structure and find computers? Yes.
Have you Googled it and see if it does?
I did, and that's not what I found. I literally found manually create everything. And it's possible. It can be done because my PowerSave application from Veronix Core, it can actually link into an LDAP query, and it will replicate your Active Directory and only show you computers.
Oh, yeah, that's an easy query. I use that one for all sorts of stuff.
I don't know why System Center couldn't do it, But I wonder, I'm kind of wondering if maybe System Center was around before Active Directory in some instances, just the way it acts, the way it responds things. So I think
System Center, being it's meant to do so many different things, I mean, you have in System Center iOS management stuff even.
Yeah, I know. I noticed that.
It's got also, I mean, I think, let me see what is here. There was Android app stuff. There was iOS management. There was all sorts of crazy stuff. I mean, it does everything. So I guess they're trying to make it, build it how you want.
Yeah, and maybe kind of act as like a standalone product.
It is definitely that.
But it's just, yeah.
Well, I guess, no, it can't be a before Active Directory because you have to modify the schema.
Yeah, I know. It's just kind of weird. I mean, it's just... I just wish it was a little bit easier in that aspect to, like, replicate device collections based on OUs. I wonder if there's a way to, like, script it out or something. I bet somebody's figured out a way to do it.
I'm sure there is. I'm sure there's some WMI hooks into it.
Yeah, the district that I talked to, he said he had to, like, manually create everything. And you did, too. And I sent you that article, and you're like, this is exactly what I'm doing. And so I created it took me a while to figure out you can make folders. And so I was like, heck yeah, folders. And so
what a novel idea.
I just started building some – I mainly did the labs, and then I just grouped all the teachers together and all the staff together. And I was talking to somebody else about it, and I was like, you know, I said, I'll do these kind of like main categories, but if it ever comes an instance that I need to like get something a little bit more granular to build a device collection based on a certain hallway or something, I'll just do it whenever I need to do it. It's like,
that's what I'm going to be doing.
Don't sit there and just waste all of your time doing it. Just build your hierarchy things, because for the most part, most of your teachers are all going to get the same things deployed to it. At least that's my instance. Like, I need to deploy iStation, so I just pushed it out to all the teacher machines and just dealt with it, whether a teacher uses iStation or not. I mean, I don't think the math teachers need iStation, but they got it anyway. So,
yeah, I mean, I really do like it still. I mean, I do like the remote management tool built into it.
I mean, it's like
very simple.
I mean, I'm a Daimler school, and I like Daimler. Daimler can do some cool things. Daimler kind of gives like a front end to a lot of things that you can do with PowerShell. Which I think is what it's doing anyway. And I think you finally got SolarWinds to finally admit that it's just using VNC over its own port.
It is. And it's just using their own hook version of the hook driver.
But, and you know, and that kind of like explains to something to me, because I told you earlier, it's like, to me, using the remote console or the remote client from System Center, which uses the support assist version of RDP tools, to me, it just works better than Daimler. And I guess it's because it's using over something that's built into Windows as opposed to a VNC service that is having to install on top of Windows.
Yeah. I did find a neat quirk in the remote control viewer, though.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a quirk with Windows 10 and this remote viewer. You can't drag it from one monitor to the other.
No.
Because it wants to snap in the middle.
I think that's a problem with more than just like that. Because I have that issue like... If someone's showing a document camera and they drag it to another screen, the document camera quits working in the application.
Well, this is not that. This is, it won't let you drag the mouse cursor past the center point because it wants to, you know how Windows can separate two things on each screen?
Oh, yeah.
That's what it's wanting to do with this thing.
Yeah.
Even on dual monitor. It's kind of funny.
It didn't want to do that.
Oh, wait. Unless you, I found a solution.
Right click move?
No. If you resize it smaller than its native resolution, it'll let you do it.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. So
bizarre.
There we go. Podcasting on the fly. That's how we learn things. But yeah, it's a very good thing. And just like you were using it through the System Center console itself. I was just using the standalone remote client, which is pretty neat. But the only downside about that is like you have to know the computer name. And that's one thing that I kind of miss about the one thing I do like about Daimler is like I put – like, computers are assigned to rooms, not people.
Mm-hmm.
But I will put in the description in Active Directory who's in that room, you know? And so I may not know the teacher's room number off the top of my head, even though they're supposed to put it in the work order. But you know how some people are about work orders. They just pretend they don't exist. So they're supposed to put the room number in there. But if they don't, I could always just, like, do the little computer picker in Daimler and see, like, which machine that is and who's in that room or whatever. And so but I'm getting better with room numbers. It's all the people that are like new employees. It takes me a year or so to figure out who they are and where they're at.
Hey, I just built a computer picker for it, standalone.
Oh, look at you.
Okay. On the fly.
So, I mean.
The first parameter, if you if you throw onto the end of the executable the machine name, it connects to it. So if you do the PowerShell OU picker, filtering by only computers, you get the computer picker from Daimler before this. Oh,
look at you. That's great. You may have to make sure you share that with me. But yeah, so I'm really digging System Center. I'm starting the process of doing the virtual machine manager, and I'm running into some snags as far as some prerequisites that it wants to tie into, like SQL Server, and I have the stuff that it says install, and it doesn't recognize it. So I think I'm just going to give it a reboot tonight and just try to probably pick it back up tomorrow to see maybe it just needs a reboot for maybe it needs to be registered or something. Register some DLL file so it knows that it's there, but who knows? So I'm gonna try to play with the virtual machine manager piece and see how it works with my ESX or whatever, and see if I like it, and if it'll be beneficial. They have some, but still,
I don't know what it all will do for you in ESX, but it says it supports it, so it's mainly the IS and SI functions. I know that's all it's using for my storage right here.
Well, I know that. VMware offers a lot of PowerShell hooks
to do
stuff, and so maybe it's tying into some of that stuff too,
which is awesome.
So but yeah, because I know that's how Veeam works too. Veeam uses the PowerShell stuff in VMware, I'll give it a shot, but I'm still planning on looking into going to Hyper-V when I get new machines. I think I'm going to go grab me a desktop probably after we get back from Thanksgiving and install it and stand up a VM of something and just kind of, or maybe a couple of VMs and play with it just to see how I like it.
So here's the question. Are you going to load Hyper-V Server or are you going to load Windows Server with a Hyper-V role?
Well, right now, 2019, I don't think they have the Hyper-V server.
Being they re-released 1809, they might now.
Oh, well, that's true. But, I mean, also, it's like, I don't even know when I'm getting new servers. And so we'll just have to see what's available whenever it's time to do that. But I would probably be more comfortable just installing the hypervisor itself, but I don't think that has a GUI. And so when it comes
it
to
does.
Like
it just
Microsoft
loads
stuff, I like GUIs.
Hey, the Hyper-V Server 2019 is released.
Hey, all right. So that's one thing to look at, I guess. So I may start with that and play with that. But it's like, but yeah, once I just get it installed and figure out how to connect the console that I have running on another machine to it, I don't think it'll be that big of a deal.
No, yeah. The only thing that if you do the Hyper-V, if you do, right?
If you
do
the
Hyper-V server, we are in education, so we got to act like kids every now and then.
Yeah.
But if you use the Hyper-V server instead of Windows Server with a Hyper-V role, you lose storage spaces and can't go hyper-converged.
Oh,
so,
well.
One thing to keep in mind.
I mean, it's just I may just use the full version of Data Center with the Hyper-V role just because it's kind of what I'm
used
to.
That's what I do. And it gives you a little more flexibility because you get storage spaces where you can do deduplication on there, plus the hyperconvergence.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I'll probably go that route. And since you told me that it's not so, the clustering of Hyper-V is not so dependent on Active Directory anymore, that has my confidence increasing
yep.
in my ability. Because, you know, it's hard to bring up a cluster that's dependent on Active Directory that's running inside the cluster.
Yeah, they realized how stupid that was in Hyper-V 2012. So in R2, they fixed that.
So,
I never understood that.
Yeah, and it's like I had to work with at school with that one time, and I had to like create some quorum shared folder other server to kind of bypass all that, and then it's
and I had changed that and made it a 512. Meg quorum disk on the SAN that they were looking at, just so the disk had a vote. And so two of the three in the cluster could go down and the services still run.
Yeah, and so, I mean, it's going to be a learning curve for me, but I don't think it'll be that difficult. I mean, it can't be no harder than System Center was to set up.
Actually, it's a lot easier.
Checkbox. next. Checkbox.
Basically. And then if you don't have your machines configured the same, it'll complain and tell you what you don't have the same.
Yeah, and so basically, I think the hardest part of that whole project is going to be converting VMware VMs to Hyper-V VMs. But I know there's a tool for that somewhere. So OVF files and just export and import, I guess, is what I could do.
No. You use your virtual machine manager and it'll do the conversion for you.
Oh, well, there we go. Now that gives me a reason that I have to actually finish that install.
Yep. So. Except mine says version 1801. I want it to say 1809.
Yeah. So we'll see how that works. But I think I'm going to do it just because, you know, you and I have been talking about like some cost savings things and how System Center is even going to save you like money on your antivirus cost. It can save you money on your Daemware cost. And now moving to Hyper-V can save me money on like my VMware licensing and stuff. And so just all around time to save some money. So,
you know, and Microsoft really needs to make these tools more public. They have fantastic stuff. They just don't tell anyone about it. Or if they do, they write a TechNet article that no one sees.
Yeah, but you know, part of the thing I think maybe their issue is, and I know it's been my experience in the past, a little bit overwhelming. You know, some of their documentation and stuff, it's just a little overwhelming. And it's like, I need like the third grade edition of this. Walk me through it step by step. Don't just say, well, set up this. And it's like, okay, well, tell me how to set up that.
I get it.
So it's almost like using Linux back in the day. Everything was just go read the manual. And so
RTFM.
Yeah. And so, but it's gotten a little bit better and things are getting a little bit more user friendly, I think. And so maybe things are coming around now. And I've also noticed it's like in all of their tools, it seems like they're making it easier and easier to push yourself to Azure Cloud as opposed to running everything locally. It's like, hey, push it there. Hey, set this up that has to do with Azure Cloud. It's like they're pushing that on us. So
the only thing if you do, and I've thought about in the past, because you get Azure AD for free with education, is you don't get group policy though with it.
You know, I would maybe be okay with that just because I would really just use Azure Active Directory is mainly just kind of a backup to what I currently
use. But it doesn't work like that.
I know, and that's why I really don't want to, is because it doesn't work like that. But that would be the only reason why I would want it. It's like as a backup to what I'm currently doing. But
yeah. They want you to use Intune,
yeah,
the MDM solution with Azure AD to do all your stuff, which I get. If you're doing like BYOD stuff, why are you going to push a group policy down to people?
Yeah, and so give me that for free too.
You get part of it for free.
Yeah, well, I want the whole thing. I want it all.
They gotta
make
money every now and then.
I don't want to pay for anything. I mean, I bought Surface Books. I deserve free.
They'll give you a free dock.
Yeah, they have actually sent me a free dock before.
So we say that jokingly, but that actually has happened.
I was sent a free dock, and they were like, "Well, we don't need the old one back." I'm like, "Okay." See, they even know their product's garbage.
Just that one product.
Yeah. Oh, it is so
that
bad.
One product is garbage, though.
It is so bad. I mean, I'm so glad that one person that was having problems with it all the time, which I can't necessarily blame the dock because it was a brand new dock because their other one kind of flooded. And so, but they had problems when they were housed in somebody else's office with their dock, who that person is using that dock now with no problems. And so I don't know for sure if the problems that person was having was the dock or the person, to be completely honest with you, or the Surface Book. But I had that replaced too, and they were still having problems. So let's talk least common denominator or greatest common factor. I don't know. Whatever that math term is, it's that situation.
There you go. Yeah, those docks are horrible. They never should have got rid of the one that went slammed into the sides.
You know, but everybody's doing that. Even Dell is moving towards the USB-C dock. Like, whatever happened to the old port replicators that plugged into that thing on the bottom of the laptop? That thing was great. It was great.
USB-C is too good.
Yeah, but so was that.
I still have a laptop with that, my Lenovo T450.
I mean, it's just you plug everything into the dock. I mean, it charges it. It gives it Ethernet, multiple monitors, USB ports, and then you just pop and go whenever you're ready.
Yep.
But I don't know.
Good times.
It's just, and it was it's a little bit better on the desk as far as space, not having this like wart hanging
off. I just don't like
it.
The random, at least it would stay in one spot.
Yeah.
The cable doesn't, I guess I could tape it down, but.
But it's like you just pop it down and you're good to go. But this, it's like you have to pick up the thing, plug it in. Make sure it all
turn
connects
it
good
still.
And everything. When the other one, you just popped it in and you were good to go.
Didn't even open the lid.
I know. And we have that problem sometimes. It's like to get it to come up, we have to open the lid to like wake the machine up and then they can actually use the thing. So I don't know. I don't have that problem with my Mac and it works like that. So I don't know. Maybe it's a Windows thing.
You can turn on your Mac without opening the lid?
I can't. I don't. Well, not like if it's asleep, I can wake it up. But I can't, power it on. But who turns off their laptops anymore?
I do.
I don't shut down ever. I don't think, well, like this thing has been rebooted a couple times because it's been redone this week. But
I have like my default action to close the lid to shut down.
Oh, not me. Mine just goes to sleep. And sometimes it won't go to sleep and you just pull it out of the bag later and the thing is smoking hot.
That's why I did that.
So it's just so weird. Yeah, we're ready for Thanksgiving break if you can't tell.
Absolutely. In fact, I don't have to come to work tomorrow.
That's lucky you. I mean, we don't even get early release tomorrow. We have to stay the whole day.
Yeah, we had early release today and no work tomorrow.
I think tomorrow is going to be a good time to clean up this office again because it seems like every month I trash it and so I have to restart. And so I'll probably work on that tomorrow, is clean this thing up. And because I don't want to get too involved with anything. And that's kind of been my whole attitude this week, is just sort of like put out the little fires that show up here and there, but don't get too involved in any projects because I don't want to leave anything sitting over the week we're gone and I don't want to work on it while I'm gone. And so I don't want to start anything and then forget about it when I come back, which is bound to happen. To be completely honest with you, I'll forget about something that I'm working on.
Yeah, it happens.
I did it just
the
other
day.
Yeah,
I had full intentions of today of not doing much of anything because it was early release. And
oh, and speaking of the Ag Lab, looks like the Ag Lab, the Ag switch just went down. Good times. So, yeah, so fun. Story of my life. Just don't understand.
Don't ever plan on doing nothing because you will do something.
Yeah, it's like 3 o'clock and now we're going to have a switch go down. I'm going to give it a little bit. Maybe it'll come back. Maybe it's a power issue. So if not, I may be changing out a switch today. Who knows? Or tomorrow. It's 3 o'clock. You can wait.
Or Monday.
Yeah, I'll do it Monday. Yeah, I don't think that's going to work. But yeah, so big plans for your Thanksgiving week?
Actually, hooking up to the RV and we're going to go out of town.
That's good. You going to come back to do the family stuff?
I am. Well, I am going to come back Wednesday because we have an event we do every year since before I can remember, at my grandparents' house where the entire family gets together. So, yeah.
That's always...
If I'm not there, I don't think I'll be allowed to be in the family anymore.
I got you. You know, I'm not real big on get-togethers. I don't know why. I'm not real big on holidays, to be honest with you. But we'll get together with, I think, my side of the family and her, and my wife's side of the family at some point. And of course, we might hit up the Walmart crowd Thursday afternoon after.
This is going to be the first year me and my wife are not doing it.
We went last year for the first time right after Thanksgiving. It's like, I hate the whole concept of it. You know, I'm fine with it being open on Friday. I don't really like it being open on Thursday, but... If there's something you really want and they're open on Thursday, you probably ought to go get it on Thursday because there's a chance it may be gone on Friday.
Yeah, I don't like the Thursday thing either, but...
But it is what it is at this point.
It is what it is, and I'm not going to be able to get around it.
But usually it's like we used to go to a movie after Thanksgiving. And so, I mean, there's really no difference in going shopping, making those people work, and then going to a movie and making those people work. So, I mean, it is, I guess it is what, and I would be fine if the movie's closed too, and I'd be fine if Walmart stayed closed, but we were bored last year, and so we just went, and it was kind of fun, to be honest with you. It's like they put everything, it's like, don't go to Walmart on Thursday after Thanksgiving expecting to go grocery shopping, because...
Are you serious, people?
Or even, like, going down an aisle to get, like, a normal thing. Like, if you need a t-shirt, don't expect to go get it, because they're going to have, like, the entrances to aisles blocked off with all their Black Friday stuff. And so, like, the movies, which I'm actually going for just, like, a couple of movies that are going to be on sale, the movies will actually be in the deli.
The deli?
The deli. At least that's where they were last year. There's no telling where they'll be this year. And it's just kind of crazy. You just start in the store and you just kind of follow the crowd and you walk around the whole outside of the store, the ring. And I think then you walk up and down their main aisles and then you kind of go. The thing is, though, is getting a buggy. That's the hard part. It's like they don't have enough buggies for the number of people that are actually in the store at one time. So that's got to be a fire hazard, to be honest with you. It's got to be against the law somewhere.
You think so?
Yeah. So I think we're going to bring the kid's wagon. But no, it's like we'll put him in the stroller probably, even though he's almost a little bit too big for it, so we don't have to carry him and he doesn't get lost in the shuffle. And we just kind of made our way around last year, and it's like Amanda came across a crock pot, and she's like, oh, yeah, I think my mom needed a crock pot. So she called her while we stood by the crock pots. Hey, do you want this crock pot? Yeah, I'll take it. Okay, so we pick up a crock pot.
We did that a couple years ago with televisions. There was a 4K television that was like $199.
Yeah.
So, hey, we don't need one, but does anybody else?
Yeah, it's like, hey, we're here. We'll get it for you. But the TV I want won't be $199. So I'm jonesing for a new TV. I'm jonesing for it, but it'd be okay. It'll come eventually. But I think, but what's really got me intrigued, is they're going to have like PlayStation 4s and Xbox Ones on sale for like $199. And I really want to play Red Dead Redemption 2.
You should get it on Xbox though.
I mean, I really want to play it. And so I'm like, is this game going to be worth spending probably $300 by the time I'm done? And I'm like, probably not. So I probably won't.
That's how I ended up with an Xbox, is because I wanted to play Fallout 4 when it came out, and I didn't have a gaming PC.
Well, now you have something that can play games. Sell your Xbox.
I do.
Sell it to me for cheap. Or no, loan it to me so that I can play Red Dead Redemption 2, and then I'll give it back to you when I'm done. How about that? Will that work?
That won't hurt my feelings.
Because that's really all I want to do. Can I rent an Xbox for like a month? That's really all I want to do.
I guess you could.
But yeah, so needless to say, we're going to skip next week. We're not going to have a show. Some podcasts are more committed than we are about recording on holidays. But
it did take us 2 years to get to 1 year.
Yeah, let's just be honest. Our track record's not that great anyway. But yeah, so we're going to be off next week. We're going to spend some time with our families. And I'm going to go watch the crazy people at the store buying things. Probably join in the festivities. And then I'll probably have to put up Christmas lights on the house on Saturday. So,
yay, Christmas lights.
Or I might have to do that Friday, because she said, do you want to go with us shopping on Friday? And I said, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I don't want to go on Friday. It's like, you're lucky to get me go on Thursday.
So you're going shopping on Friday, right?
No, I'm not going. So if I don't go shopping on Friday, it means I'm putting lights up on the house. That's probably what that means. But I go to a movie this past Monday, and I come back, my Christmas tree is up. So that's how it rolls in my house. So
Christmas trees are not allowed at my house before Thanksgiving. Just not.
Yeah, I wish I could stand firm on that a little bit more. But anywho, that's our show for this week. For links and show notes, were the two links that we have. You can visit educatingtech.net/54, where you can also find links to past episodes. You can send us any questions, comments, or concerns to educatingtech@gmail.com or on Twitter at educatingtech. But don't forget, you can also tweet out to hashtag AskEducatingTech if you want to send us some questions. And with our IFTTT magic and some Google Sheets, we'll be able to see those. To see what Chris is up to, you can follow him on Twitter at @Feeks, and I'm at @TwistOfMatt. And if you like what we're doing, you can support us by going to patreon.com/educatingtech. And that's it. We'll see you next week. Well, not next week. See you in 2 weeks, Chris.
See you later, Matt.